In a world where systems seem designed to resist transformation, Seth Godin offers a refreshing perspective. Strategy isn't just for generals or MBAs, it's for anyone who wants to make things better. This Is Strategy has quickly become a sensation among entrepreneurs, creatives, and changemakers, with figures like Tim Ferriss and Daniel Pink praising its accessible wisdom. What sets this book apart is how Godin weaves together seemingly disparate concepts, time, games, systems, and empathy, into a cohesive framework for understanding how change actually happens. Unlike traditional strategy books that offer rigid formulas, Godin provides a philosophical toolkit for seeing the invisible forces that shape our world and finding leverage points where small actions can create significant impact. Strategy isn't a rigid map, but a compass that guides our daily choices toward a better tomorrow. At its core, Godin's approach weaves together four essential elements that interact continuously to create the conditions for meaningful change. Time is the first thread, the dimension we often overlook. We exist in the present but live for the future, planting seeds today that won't grow for weeks, months, or years. Like farmers who understand seasonal rhythms, strategic thinkers see beyond immediate results to envision how actions unfold across time. This temporal awareness helps us recognize that Rome wasn't finished in a day, but it did exist from the moment the founding brothers declared, "This is Rome." Each day after that, Rome got better. Better, not done. Games form the second thread, the recognition that we're engaged in multiple competitions with different players, rules, and objectives. From insulin dosage to job hunting to passing legislation, many life activities function as games, with players, scarcity, choices, feedback loops, and outcomes. Viewing projects as games helps us depersonalize our work and be more flexible. We learn that outcomes rarely correlate with desire to win. Players perceive games differently, and most games aren't fair. Sometimes helping others becomes the winning move. Empathy is the third thread, understanding that others see and want different things. Beyond basic needs, people navigate three conflicting desires: affiliation, fitting in, being part of community; status, relative position, who's up, who's down; and freedom from fear. Strategic empathy isn't sympathy or projection, but recognizing that others have different knowledge, perspectives, and beliefs, and that's okay. We can't succeed by demanding everyone adopt our viewpoint. Instead, we must help people get where they already want to go. Systems form the fourth thread, the complex webs of interaction we create when working together. Systems have nodes, buildings, and connections, roads, with established conventions. While buildings and people get replaced regularly, roadways and system rules fiercely resist change. Working with systems feels like having a skilled assistant enhancing your work, while working against them feels like someone's deliberately sabotaging you. Every successful system serves a purpose, though it might not be the stated one or seem logical. When these four threads intertwine, we gain the perspective needed to create elegant strategies. Approaches that harness systems to work for us rather than against us, reducing waste and improving over time as trust grows. Systems dominate our culture for three reasons. Coordinated human effort creates productivity. Doctors need hospitals, farmers need markets. People's irrationality requires systems to adjudicate disagreements. And consistency becomes possible through slack and information persistence that bridges individual shortcomings. While systems create power and leverage, they can also produce undesirable side effects and impede useful innovation. Like a river's current, the relentless force moving from here to there, systems have an essential nature beyond their visible components. Rather than building expensive, failure-prone dams to change a river's course, digging small channels that work with the river's natural flow is more effective. These small channels quickly become torrents and eventually redirect the river itself. Systems feature roles, rules, inputs, outputs, rewards, punishments, feedback loops, power dynamics, and hierarchies that create and defend the status quo. Though sometimes invisible, people feel their pull and understand their power. Systems range from massive institutions like college admissions to tiny family dynamics. While we can't change entire systems like capitalism, we can alter incentives within them by creating different cultural boundaries and status roles. Systems persist despite not always meeting our needs because of several factors: status quo bias multiplied through networks, sunk costs making abandonment difficult, interoperability requirements like Bluetooth compatibility, status roles benefiting those in power who maintain hierarchies, and our deep human need for affiliation and community. Rather than fighting systems directly, working with them offers a more leveraged path to change. Cultural systems evolve layer by layer, with innovations building upon one another. From Josiah Wedgwood's mass-produced china in 1759 to Ada Lovelace's computer programming work in 1843, each advancement created the foundation for what followed. This layered evolution explains how today I can order underwater MP3 headphones online and receive them the next day for what would be the equivalent of $2 in Wedgwood's time. Like a barefoot runner gliding effortlessly, an elegant strategy offers simplicity, efficiency, and effectiveness. Though it may seem roundabout initially, it harnesses systems to work for us rather than against us. Elegant strategies reduce waste, avoid dead ends, and feel beautiful. We intuitively sense when we're aligned with the systems around us, doing the right thing in the right way. Though elegant strategies vary, many share common patterns that give us leverage within systems. Three key aspects to focus on. They get better as you grow, making them sustainable long-term. Systemic advantage defeats heroic effort, eliminating the need for daily miracles. And they're simple to explain, but difficult to maintain as pressure to compromise increases over time. Chocolate farmers in Ghana and Ivory Coast illustrate how systems trap participants. These farmers are caught in a commodity system that rewards volume over quality. Multiple systems interlock here. Corporate industrial complexes seeking scale and profit, government regulators balancing social good with industry pressure, and marketing systems responding to consumer preferences for convenience. Entrepreneurs like Toon van de Kooken, Tony's Chocolony, Sean Askenosi, and Original Beans created alternative models with ethical sourcing, higher wages, and better flavor. While they won't eliminate Halloween candy culture, they create pressure points that gradually shift the system. When confronting the organ donation shortage, the author proposed prioritizing the waitlist based on how long people had been registered as donors themselves. Despite publishing in Transplantation Journal and being cited by Yale, the idea stalled. Unlike kindergarten innovations, organ donation policy requires widespread implementation, not gradual adoption. The medical establishment wanted proof and feared meetings with status quo defenders. The proposal lacked small wins and sustained advocacy that would confer status on key individuals. Good ideas are necessary but rarely sufficient for system change. Big problems become entrenched because systems amplify and perpetuate them. Rather than declaring war with dramatic all-or-nothing approaches, effective solutions require stepwise paths of small, strategic changes that alter how system nodes make decisions. These targeted adjustments to rewards and information flows create more permanent and resilient change than satisfying but temporary broad strokes. Strategy connects goals to insights, amplified by resources, to create meaningful change. A blueprint emerges from answering 17 key questions that bring tomorrow's concerns into today's focus. Who are we serving? What change do we seek? What resources do we have? What genre are we working in? Who has done similar work? What systems are in play? Are we changing someone's status? Why would people voluntarily participate? What will they tell colleagues? Who gains status by supporting this? Will early support grow? Where's the network effect? What must we learn to succeed? We often fall in love with dreams, opening bookstores, becoming influencers, without questioning the systems that shape these passions. Our intuitive strategies emerge from what we've been exposed to. No one was born to win Oscars 4 centuries ago. Our passions aren't innate, but produced by our environment. Perhaps our true purpose is simply making a difference through elegant strategy. Clear, simplified strategies create their own challenges. What if our project fails after we've committed resources and emotional labor? We'd be responsible with nowhere to hide. And what if it succeeds? Are we prepared to become whoever we'll be if our strategy works? We often have more agency than we admit, but hiding is easier than showing up. The easy, obvious paths have already been picked clean. These convenient routes are often traps within systems designed to exploit those seeking simple satisfaction. The most worthwhile opportunities rarely appear at placement offices or present themselves as obvious choices. Projects require 3 types of effort: chores and tasks, hired work like clearing inboxes, leverage, outsourcing work to focus on what only we can do, and emotional labor, the difficult work of change and strategy. Great artists like Rembrandt, Warhol, and Wiley understood this. They built studios, hired craftspeople, but personally handled style decisions, public roles, and strategic choices about what to create next. Bell's genius wasn't inventing the telephone, but building the Bell system, a protocol for local networks to connect to the global network. A telephone's value emerges only when it connects to others. Despite its advantages, it took 75 years for telephones to reach 1 million users. Facebook reached that milestone in 10 months. Mr. Beast videos now reach millions in days. Few of us build something as transformative as the telephone, but we all benefit from understanding network effects, which now operate with unprecedented speed and impact. Cities thrive through density created by newcomers. They function as connectors, where being part of the system creates more value than remaining apart. This metaphor applies to our projects and movements. They are cities, systems within systems with potential to create change. We can create conditions for them to thrive. People resist being hustled, but eagerly join meaningful endeavors. Justin Kobylka became the world's premier ball python breeder by understanding how internet connectivity transformed his niche into a multi-million-dollar industry. His strategy leverages time, growing with the industry's online transformation, creating conditions for field growth with his company at Center, and building resources for future advantage. He reinvests rather than selling his most valuable specimens. You actually lose money long-term if you sell the most amazing thing. His reputation creates a feedback loop where buyers pay premium prices for his snakes, and his patience with breeding creates varieties worth $30,000 each. His clear strategy makes catching up nearly impossible. Eliza Blank quit her marketing job in her 20s to start The Sill, an online plant retailer that grew to millions in sales with 70 employees within a decade. She recognized how the internet was reorganizing the plant buying system and adapted accordingly. Without a storefront, she initially hand-delivered plants throughout New York, then reinvested in content creation that attracted visitors and customers nationwide. Her strategy demonstrates that copying the leader is futile when that leader has deep roots and continues to plant new seeds. Her blueprint can't simply be duplicated because the world keeps changing while she maintains her advantage. The secret to modern marketing isn't hype or getting the word out. It's first 10. Find 10 people who trust you and genuinely need what you offer. If they love it, they'll each find more people. If not, you need a better product or better audience insight. This approach transforms marketing from mass broadcasting to gradual building with the right participants. As we mature, we expand our circles beyond just ourselves to include family, neighbors, and eventually more people in our we. This natural progression mirrors human developmental psychology, where children gradually move from egocentric thinking to understanding multiple perspectives. Similarly, we can extend our sense of now to include yesterday and tomorrow, developing what psychologists call temporal consciousness. The Iroquois Confederacy principle of considering decisions' impact on seven generations exemplifies this expansion, a practice that guided their governance for centuries and influenced modern environmental stewardship principles. Strategy fundamentally challenges us to make both circles bigger, including more people in our community and embracing a longer relationship with time. This dual expansion requires developing new mental models and decision-making frameworks. For instance, successful urban planning often spans decades and must consider diverse stakeholder needs, from current residents to future generations. It's easy to sell immediate gratification without regard for long-term consequences or impact on others. Social media platforms, fast fashion, and predatory lending all exploit our natural bias toward instant rewards. Yet we haven't all devolved into selfish toddlers because systems build bridges between today and tomorrow. Systems, whether legal frameworks, educational institutions, or cultural traditions, enforce norms that reward those who expand their circle of concern beyond themselves. Consider how pension systems encourage long-term thinking, or how environmental regulations protect future generations. Even when imperfect, systems outperform the mythical lone individual, as demonstrated by successful cooperative ventures from credit unions to Wikipedia. When launching a podcast, instead of futilely pursuing dream guests immediately, work backward by identifying who would make it likely your dream guest would say yes, and before that, who would open the door to that person. This illustrates how most overnight successes actually unfold gradually through strategic relationship building. Successful podcasters often start with accessible guests, build credibility and audience over time, and leverage each connection to reach increasingly prominent voices, a process that might take years rather than weeks. Strategy is a flexible plan guiding change creation within systems over time. Its complexity stems from time's daily reset and systems' interconnections of multiple people with varying interests. Strategic planning requires understanding opportunity costs, benefits foregone by choosing one option over another. For example, investing in long-term research and development means fewer resources for immediate market expansion. Strategy demands humility since accurately predicting the future is impossible. Successful strategists maintain flexibility and adjust plans based on emerging information. It must anticipate others' actions and reactions within the system, considering both direct and indirect effects, much like a chess player thinking several moves ahead while acknowledging their opponent's possible responses. When tracking adoption of new ideas, the bell curve shows us that only about 3% of people are early adopters, those eager for innovation who gain status from finding something better. The vast majority, 97%, won't immediately embrace change. Early adopters don't adapt, they adopt eagerly, while those at the far end of the curve, adapters, resist change out of fear. The marketer's job isn't to persuade everyone, but to create something remarkable enough that early adopters can't stop telling their peers. When promoting a new idea, you'll face a dangerous moment, the gulf of disapproval, where most people who hear about your innovation reject it. Early adopters and believers, the top line, are vastly outnumbered by skeptics, the bottom line. This happened with telephones, the web, and rap music. If you track only the disapproval, you'll give up precisely when you shouldn't. The key is persistence. Count the believers, not the skeptics. Eventually, if you don't surrender, the value created for fans compounds, and they gradually convert the skeptical masses until your innovation becomes the new status quo. Different adopter groups require different approaches. Innovators seek to feel smart by figuring things out themselves. They'll brag about being first. Early adopters want to be early but not feel dumb. They need scaffolding to quickly increase competence and affiliate with innovators. The early majority simply wants something that works better. Treating them like innovators will fail. Many innovations fall into the chasm between early adopters and the masses due to insufficient scaffolding. Scaffolding provides cultural and organizational support at the beginning of adopting new ideas. Like the gradual 9-day walk to Everest Base Camp that builds momentum and commitment, scaffolding makes difficult changes accessible. For important practices that don't pay off immediately, retirement savings, vaccinations, scaffolding comes through peer support, affiliation, and status. When seeking systems change, building scaffolding for others to join you is your first and only job. Every choice we make carries an inherent opportunity cost. When we dedicate an hour to reading, we forfeit that hour for exercise, socializing, or professional development. This trade-off becomes increasingly significant in our modern world, where we face an unprecedented abundance of options, tools, and opportunities. Strategic thinking recognizes that time is our most precious and finite resource, demanding thoughtful allocation. Without a coherent strategy, we risk squandering our limited time on activities that don't advance our goals or create meaningful value. The decisions we make today, whether in business, career, or personal life, form the foundation of our future success or failure. Most conventional business theories suffer from survivorship bias, focusing exclusively on successful companies while ignoring countless similar enterprises that failed despite following identical principles. This creates a dangerous illusion of predictability and control. For instance, many analyses of tech giants like Amazon or Apple fall into the trap of reverse engineering success stories, constructing neat narratives that ignore the messy reality of their journeys. The tech landscape is littered with promising companies that had seemingly perfect strategies. Webvan had excellent logistics, Quibi had top talent and funding, yet both failed spectacularly. This unpredictability extends across industries, demonstrating that success rarely follows a linear path. The positioning grid serves as a powerful strategic tool when properly understood and applied. It maps two critical dimensions that customers genuinely care about, such as convenience versus customization, or innovation versus reliability. The crucial insight lies in ensuring each axis represents legitimate customer preferences, not just company capabilities. For example, in the automotive industry, a positioning grid might contrast performance versus efficiency and luxury versus practicality. Each quadrant must represent a viable market position that some customer segment values. When competitors are accurately mapped, you often discover they're not truly competing for the same customers. The most powerful strategic moves often involve identifying and claiming uncontested market space, what Kim and Mauburn call blue oceans, rather than fighting in overcrowded markets. Effective strategy requires transparency and robust discussion. Decisions improve dramatically when based on shared understanding and diverse perspectives. While final strategic choices shouldn't be determined by popular vote, the reasoning behind them should be open to scrutiny and debate. This includes clearly articulating current market conditions, technological trends, competitive dynamics, and potential risks. For instance, a product strategy might state, "We believe AI will commoditize basic analysis tasks within 3 years, privacy concerns will increase, and customers will pay premium prices for human expertise combined with AI tools." By exposing strategic thinking to critique, including from skeptics and competitors, organizations can identify blind spots, challenge assumptions, and ultimately make more informed choices. This collaborative approach to strategy development, while sometimes uncomfortable, consistently produces superior outcomes to closed-door decision-making. People and systems change because they want to, not because you want them to. Strategic work creates conditions for others to make choices aligning with your desired change. Culture defeats tactics, which is why strategy often focuses on creating culture. When we align with systems dynamics, change happens organically without requiring heroic effort. Like skiing downhill on snow or driving with traction in winter, success comes from positioning ourselves where forward motion is natural, not from forcing progress against resistance. Systems behave in predictable patterns, often responding to similar stimuli. Key drivers include reassurance. Systems want to persist and avoid emergencies. Faster. Productivity improvements gain traction quickly. more connected. Systems increasingly network their nodes. More convenient. Wealthy consumers trade almost anything for convenience. Cheaper. Price matters when all else is equal. More remarkable. Items worth talking about spread. And more status. Systems want respect and support from insiders and outsiders alike. Change begins with a nucleus, a core group sharing a desire who are not typical. Offer them connection, status, and opportunity. Second, create small wins that provide evidence of progress and group cohesion. Third, give the nucleus language to talk about the work. What they tell others differs from what you told them. Fourth, create likelihood of another win. This stepwise process of story, action, cohesion can repeat, with momentum becoming the driving force. Finally, establish new status roles and infrastructure, which comes last after people care enough about the new system. Systems change when stressed by external forces, with technology being one of the most significant agents in our lifetimes. The transistor enabled pocket radios that transformed music consumption. The Bezoses recognized the internet would transform industries, starting with books. Container ships revolutionized furniture manufacturing. YouTube completely changed how magicians learn, perform, and make a living. When foundational elements shift, systems initially resist but eventually transform, creating opportunities for those who anticipate the changes. The future isn't predetermined, but neither is it completely beyond our control. The industrial myth that we could standardize our way to success, that a great toaster in 1963 would remain great in 1990, misses that the future contains many possible futures shaped by our actions and inactions. Our attitude about the present and the story we tell ourselves about what just happened remain entirely within our control. The game continues with many players, always new, but rhyming with what came before.